You're listening to Bible Truth Feed, a podcast by Christadelphianvideo.org for Christadelphians and all those seeking the truth about the Bible message. Join us now as we present our latest episode.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Family Matters Tonight. Tonight we have a really neat session with about grandparenting with Ross and Wendy Mallies. So we'll be talking to them about grandparenting. Grandparents are so important in the lives of their children. And Ross and Wendy have some great encouragement to share tonight. They're going to motivate grandparents to take up their roles as chief supporters for their children and grandchildren. And we're going to see how grandparents are one of the most solid and inspirational influences in the life of their children or their grandchildren, whether living close by or far away. So welcome, Ross and Wendy. It's really good to have you with us.
Thank you.
What we'll do is just start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the family that you have given to us. Thank you for our children and our parents and our grandchildren and for all those that you've put into the families around us. We thank you for the influences that we can be on each other. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to be godly influences for our children, that we might bring them up in a way that pleases you, in a way that helps them to help their children, that all of them may dedicate their lives to you and grow to be part of your kingdom. And we pray that with all our heart, Heavenly Father. And so as we discuss tonight, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and the inspiration and the courage to do what's right and to fulfill our role as parents and grandparents. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to do a quick reading just before we start from Psalm 78, verses 3-7. And we're sort of really cutting into it, but he says, "O people, hear my teaching. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands." And I just thought that was a really appropriate way to introduce us to the topic of grandparenting, because grandparenting really is one of those big influential, let's get that right, those big let's try a different word completely.
Influential. Yes,
that word. it's one of those influential, done it again, ways, you know, that's really powerful in our children and our grandchildren's lives. But before we start, just tell us a little bit about your children and your grandchildren, your family. How many have you got in your family and grandchildren and so on?
So that's a question which I'm gonna turn over to Wendy. She's really good at answering that. So of whom are we grandparents?
We have four living in New Zealand and two in Australia. We have Zippy, Arwen, Hoshea, and Yesenia, and in New Zealand, and Leo and Emery in Australia.
What's the age range you're looking at?
Zippy's 10, almost 11, and Emery's just turned one, so between that.
That's spread out between that.
Some neat age range, really.
Yeah, and it's lovely. Yeah, yeah. And still relatively young in the scheme of things.
Still relatively young.
Not about to be young great grandparents in the next couple of minutes. So.
Yes, you never know.
What do they call you? What do they call you?
They call us Mita and Poppy. So Wendy is Mita from Mamita, which is Spanish, and I'm Popsy from Popsy, which is just Pop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which shows that, you know, really what they call you just becomes a kind of a almost just a label, and you know, the name is just a symbol for like everything they know about you.
So you've had experience of both close by grandparenting and more remote grandparenting. Can you tell us a little bit about what each of those have looked like for you?
Well, we're in a fortunate situation where we've got, you know, electronic communication, which a lot of people haven't had in the past. And so that means that you've got this kind of promise of regular and almost instantaneous communication. But on the other hand, it almost promises more than it delivers, because it's not a real kind of physical presence, and yet it kind of almost pretends to be. Not that it's something I would you know, we use it all the time, but it's just
there's nothing like seeing their faces and seeing their smiles, you know, when they see that it's you on the phone and they smile, and there's nothing like that. But it's also not I guess it's a really heartbreaking thing, actually, because you're not there.
Yeah. At the end of every communication, you're sort of like, you do feel like the distance.
Yes. And you can't give a hug over Zoom.
No.
And it's really not the same talking to them either. It's like, I mean, you know, when you're talking to adults, it's actually really hard sometimes. It's just so different when you're face to face.
So obviously, in preference to be able to be close by is by far the preferred sort of way, I guess. But although there's restrictions to distance, it doesn't mean that your role as grandparents stops either.
No, and you can still have a relationship through distance. So it doesn't kill the relationship.
I think it's really being. Sorry, so you go.
It just may take a little more work, perhaps.
It does, yeah. I was just going to say, I think it's always good to have some period of time, if you can at all, and I know that's not always possible, but if you can, a period of time when you are actually in each other's presence, you know, physically in each other's presence, because there's a lot of nuances to that you just don't get over you know, Skype or Zoom or whatever. And you know, and that especially goes with kids.
And I mean, one of the things about grandparenting is that grandparents have time. Whereas
true.
Parents are often real busy.
And grandparents can sometimes just fill those gaps, you know, where parents are really busy.
You've been able to do that, like, you know, you've got children, your own children that are working and busy parenting and stuff. You've been able to sort of step into the gap there and I don't know, read stories and
and
take kids to school or whatever.
And just being there sometimes is just enough to remove the child so that the mother can get on with what they need to get on with.
And I think that's maybe perpetuating a like an ancient kind of right where you know, villages, you know, in Old Testament times, for example, or ancient Israel and so on, where they had that whole, the whole family was sort of around, and where it was an intergenerational thing, and where children learned that it was quite a normal thing to have older and younger people around, and kind of siblings, grandparents, and the whole family, and kind of extended family as well, that they were all involved in the kind of the process, the you know, process of creating a kind of a family. And I think that kind of you can see that going down through Israel's history, when, you know, it was a natural thing to have older people there. And I think that our society has almost kind of set that aside in favor of just young people being together, or just old people being together. And it's an unnatural thing, and I think it's an actually, you know, if I can say this, it's actually an unhealthy thing.
I think you're right.
So you've spent the last few years in close proximity to your Australian grandchildren, and what does that look like on a weekly basis?
Well, well, Ross didn't see them that much, but I saw them every day because I went to the cafe and looked after them. And while Jana did something, and then while we worked for Chloe in the cafe, they would come out and help us strip flowers and things, you know. So we were constantly, constantly there. But it was kind of I would say it was a very unique position for me. What I was doing, and what they, you know, being able to be there all the time for them. Yeah. Yes.
I think children, you know, they can be conscious of this fact that often older people, grandparents specifically, would like to be included in just day-to-day life. So some don't, and some, you know, some get annoyed at that, I know, but in our case, it was something that we kind of, we welcomed, being involved in the kind of the day-to-day existence of a family. It's a two-way thing. Both the grandparents can help the young people, but also it gives the grandparents relevance too, which is often
to be useful.
Yeah. And I think that's something that again, that our society is kind of like, it downplays that kind of, you know, that irrelevance of older people is quite a common thing these days.
Yeah.
And you said the other day, actually, Ross, when we were talking, that grandparents are the glue that holds the ecclesial family together. Just while we're on that topic.
Yeah.
Did you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So there's, and I guess it comes back to my comment before about the natural, more ancient kind of styles of parenting, that we're very firmly firmly believers in that idea, that there's an intergenerational relationship there with grandparents and grandchildren, what it does is it channels two worlds, really, contemporary world, you know, with the young people, and an older world with, you know, two or three generations ago. And what that does is it provides this, that there's a channel between them, and that holds those two, say, groups together, the grandchildren and the grandparents, you know, by means of the parents kind of like facilitating that and allowing that and encouraging that brings those two kind of those two groups that are separated by age and very much separated by context. It brings that together. And I think it's, you see that in an ecclesia that is overly obsessed with young people, or becomes completely obsessed with just its old people because all the young people leave or whatever, it does look like a slightly unbalanced and a slightly wonky ecclesia.
Yeah. Yeah, and so grandparents bring that together. Yeah, that's a really neat point. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Wendy, I have a question for you. As you become a grandparent, like, you know, your kids have your son or your daughter has a spouse and a baby, and you become a grandparent, what did you find there were boundaries that you had to put in place? You know, there's things you want to do with the kids or you don't want to do with the kids, or they want you to do or don't want you to do, or discipline, or, you know, what sort of boundaries have you found as far as a grandparent goes?
It's something you have to work on, I think. As a grandparent, you have to work on your first instinct is to go in and manage everything. But you have to really teach yourself to stand back and let the kids handle it, you know. And I think half of you also knows when a parent is disciplining a child that you know that actually, you know, you want to help the child, but you also know that that it's not going to be a big thing in the bigger picture of things. The little small amount of disciplining is not going to be a big thing. So, you know, I think it's easier as a grandparent to step back and let it happen. But sometimes you do want to leap in and tell them what to do. But I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's good for the kids to find their own ways to manage their families. Sometimes I think you can talk to them, but I based on some of my experiences, it's better to wait until after the issue has gone down at a different time.
I was just going to say, and often we will have a slightly different style of parenting to our kids, and you know, as funny as that may seem, but we often will be managing it and getting. You're going to the same point. You want to achieve the same outcomes, and sometimes you just have to let your kids find their way through whatever that situation, and that's actually a part of God's. God's chastening, that it's the working through of a problem that actually you find a lot of the value in it. It's not so much just coming up with solutions, like, you know, the dinging on my phone that you heard just a minute ago. It's not so much the solutions, it's more the working through to the solution that teaches you a lot. When you jump in and you want to save everything and save the day with your, you know, wise counsel of this or that, you're actually circumventing that process.
That's a really good point. And it is hard, even as a parent. I know for myself, I'm wanting to, you know, save a bit of pain or a bit of going the long route around by, you know, so do it this way.
To learn in the meantime.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's the journey to a certain point that, as you say, you learn a lot more through.
Yeah.
So, when we were chatting previously, you talked about, you know, having a great relationship with your children, and you were able to ask the question about what your role should look like. And how did you sort of go about that? And what your expectations were of how you would treat the children?
I don't think there's a kind. Well, we can only speak in our case.
And
in our case, we didn't. Wendy and I will obviously speak, but you know, sometimes, you know, some of your kids will basically bite your head off if you tread too, you know, stick your head up too high. And what you do is you learn to just bite your lip. So you learn by experience. But I think, pardon me, that It's often it's being there, and it's not necessarily, it's just being there. It's your presence in the moment, in the problem, in the space.
So I think might be suggesting that, are you talking about when we talked about, you know, the disciplining and if, are you talking about that point thing?
Yeah, and being able to speak to your children about what their expectations were. How would you deal with their children?
So I did have, I remember having that discussion with Shay.
We do that all the time.
The discussion about, you know, if I was caught in this position, are you happy if I discipline Zippy like this because of, you know, that sort of thing. And she was happy with that, yeah. But we'd never been actually had to do anything, but we did have that discussion, you know, that, you know, like for example, a child running across a road or something like that, and you're the only one there, and do you deal with it, and how do you deal with it, and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we did have that discussion.
Mind you, I have to put a caveat on that too, that we can only speak from our own situation, and we have always raised our family in a very kind of open, you know, to a fault actually, but a very open kind of expressive kind of relationship. So in other words, what I'm saying, I guess, is it's natural for us to have these conversations, whereas you might find in another family which maybe isn't comfortable with that, that they have to do that in other ways. But we can only really say from, you know, our own point of view, we kind of like to get it out there. Just, this is what I'm thinking right now, and what do you think about such and such? How would you, you know, deal with this? And to not be challenged by that is a help, let's say.
Okay, just changing the subject slightly. Still on grandparenting, obviously, but what would you say, how would you define the role of a grandparent?
that's a good I would say if there was one word that just off the top of my head right now,
use a sentence if you like, but you know.
I'm gonna say context. A grandparent provides context over generations, over experience, and over time. And also, a grandparent provides stability.
I would say that I would see my role as someone who is, I guess, in a way, supporting the parents, but also being a confident and also being a fun person, or just someone who's always there, as you say, stability. And kind of like the person who loves unconditionally, really, because that's what a grandparent does. It doesn't matter what the grandchildren do, you will just love them.
Your heart just melts when you see your kids. When you see your grandkids, your heart's just absolutely.
I think grandchildren know that, and they see the difference between you and the parents.
There's an older brother that we know, and some of you will know, who I'm not going to mention, but what I will say is I remember him looking at a photo of his grandchild, and he just groaned. You know, he was so in love with this little kid, and that's pretty much that. It's almost love with no strings attached, whereas when you're in the moment as a parent, there's lots and lots of strings attached. It's about paying for the school fees. It's about what the kid has just done. He's broken a cup. She's, you know, spilled water or whatever. It's all about the moment. It's much more in the moment, and it's much harder to express your love for the kid. Whereas a grandparent is by nature of who they are and where they are in relation to the society, to the family, they are stepping back slightly, and they're just having that experience of loving the kid.
Yeah, which is what really provides them with that stability, because there's no they're not in the heat of the moment. They're not fired up with those emotions.
Can I add in something here that I know we talked about the other night, Robert and Sharon, when we were going over this? And I do think, and I would put out this point that, and I'm speaking now partly as a grandparent and partly as an educator too. Kids, I don't care what society you're talking about, kids, there's an idea, once a philosopher called Rousseau had that, you know, that children are, he said, a tabula rasa, an empty slate. And I see so many kids who look to adults to create some sort of a template, some sort of a bit of organization for them to then attach themselves to. And this is completely in line with what Christ told us about children and, you know, and believers. And our children today are struggling to have these kind of like these markers, these milestones, these bedrock that they can then go on confidently into their lives with. And they're looking for it. And we as parents and we as grandparents must be providing that, must be providing those you know, those kind of touchstones, in terms of just being constant, being there.
Examples.
Examples, unconditionally loving, showing our faith in them and in other people. These sorts of patterns are the bedrock that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you go about sharing faith with grandchildren? Sharing your faith with grandchildren.
I guess you just talk about it, you know, it's in everything that you do, you know, God is in everything, so it just becomes part of your vocabulary to your grandchildren. Yeah, you know, you go for a walk, you pick out all the things and you talk about what God made, talk about the animals, that, you know, it's just part of, I don't think you ever have to sit down and give them a little lecture. I think they just, they see in the way you behave and what you talk about, they just see that in you, and that,
your faith has got to be a part of your conversation.
Yeah.
Just everyday life. They've just got to see that it's just interwoven in what you do and say and think. And you do that by sprinkling your day with, you know, just a kind of a God-centered way of talking.
So you don't sit down and say, okay, now I'm going to give you a lesson about God. It's intertwined into every part. It's intertwined into every part of
every
your
part
life.
Every part of your life. Yeah.
It's not
And that can happen in so many ways.
That would be caught more than taught, perhaps.
Yes. And Wendy and I were never explicit in that sort of thing. Although we were always quite, it was always there. I mean, we were going on mission work, we were doing this.
When are you talking about kids or grandkids?
Kids. I'm kind of like blurring the line there, but with our grandkids, I think that what we do is it's just an obvious thing that you always are bringing out some sort of a Bible-centered explanation for something, in a story, in an example, in anything like that. There's a focus that you show them.
Yeah. No, I love that. I know, like Sharon's grandmother used to get her grandkids up early in the morning and watch the sunrise.
It's a
great example of, you know, look at the creation that God's given you.
I think that as a grandparent, you know, as you get older, you appreciate a lot of that sort of thing more. And so that's what you want to give to your grandchildren, because you're older and you see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And grandchildren are probably a lot more appreciative of it from their grandparents than they are from mum and dad. You know, like, why are you waking me up this early in the morning?
Yeah.
Why would you disturb my sleep for that, you know? But a grandparent, oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. They see you differently. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you make up, I know we talked about this the other day, you make up stories as well.
We're going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So I've got a, and I know other people will have their own versions of things. I've got Mrs. Googe, and Mrs. Googe gets herself into a lot of trouble in a lot of different ways. But it'll be, sometimes it'll be like a Bible story. Often it will be just what's happened. But you can bring out sort of like, it becomes a lot easier to ramble the older you get, and particularly for the motor.
You'd always be good at that, Ross.
Well, I was starting from a high point, but I've just, you know, I'm just heights now. But yeah, I think these sorts of.
I'm put you on the spot again. Do you want to give us a 2-minute Mrs. Googe story?
No.
Well, you see, Mrs. Googe she had a computer, and there's a whole bunch of people who wanted to talk to her about the last time that she was tried to fly, because the last time she tried to fly, she made her own plane, and she'd looked in she'd looked on the back of a Kellogg's packet, and there on the back of a Kellogg's packet was a biplane. And Mrs. Googe thought that you made the biplane out of Kellogg's packets. So when she'd eaten enough cornflakes, she actually cut up the cardboard and tried to make an aeroplane. But fortunately for her, she jumped off a two-story building and didn't hurt herself too much. And so the story would go on, and I'm not going to continue.
Okay, there you go. Very good.
you were all drawn in.
Yeah, I'm totally. I want to know what happened next.
Very good. Would you give any advice to grandparents who are trying to navigate the way with children and grandchildren that haven't embraced their own faith?
Right. So, do you want to say anything, Wendy?
I'd say tread carefully.
Yes.
Yeah. Tread carefully, and I mean, I don't know because I've never been there, but I would imagine a little bit at a time is better than going in full throttle.
I think.
I
think what these kids are often lacking in their lives is some sort of, and this, I guess, goes back to my comment before about the bedrock, providing bedrock in kids' lives. And I guess what I would say is these kids are often, not always, but often lacking a kind of a bedrock, any sense of like a regular thing that they do, or a regular point that a conversation will always go to, or comments that will always come up, like, you know, God made the world or things like that. And that you, as a grandparent, you can provide something that might be a really chaotic situation in the home life, or not, but often there is. And you are there as a kind of you're providing a bit of stability. And if you can wrap that stability around biblical principles, even better. Sometimes it can be explicit, sometimes it needs to be implicit. You don't always have to come up with answers. You don't always have to come up with kind of like explicit things to say about how they should believe in God and the kingdom and all the rest of it. But your answers to things can actually lead to that anyway, in an implicit way. But the main.
You can also teach morals in a way that.
That's right. That's right, yeah.
That are biblical without necessarily saying these are from God, you know.
And, yeah. And so, yeah, you're there to provide stability in what, and I think that it's more often than we realize that it's chaos on one side, because I think that a lot of kids are living in a almost a chaotic, unpredictable, unreliable life, and you can provide order, some sort of answer to something, you know, some sort of stability. Yeah. And I don't know whether that makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing grandparents can do as well is pray for their grandchildren.
Yes,
absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely, we all do that. Yeah, sorry, I mean we you do that just so naturally.
yeah. You don't even think of it. Yeah, totally.
And pray with your grandchildren too.
True.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So there's got to be highlights of being a grandparent, and we're not that yet. So you got any highlights that you'd like to share?
You can give them lots of lollies.
Lollies? What, they give you lollies?
Well, I have to tell a story. One of the best highlights was when Shay took Zippy to the beach, and she said that she must have been about three, and she said, talking about creation and that God created the beach and the world. And Zippy said, No, Mita and Popsy created it, not God. Mita and Popsy.
Oh, they make you feel old.
All about biblical lessons, and
But that's a beautiful example of that bedrock that you were alluding to earlier. That there was obviously that sense there that she could pick up to know that her grandparents had a great deal of influence in her life.
Yeah. Always been there and always will be there. And
Yeah. And that it's interesting too that sort of thing happens without you even knowing that it's happening. Just by being there.
Yeah, that's really lovely.
Yeah.
And God willing, we believe that in the not too distant future, you will get to spend a bit more time with your New Zealand grandchildren. You'll be swapping things over a little bit. So that'll be good.
Getting new work stories and all that sort of stuff. So that'll be exciting.
The best times actually are when they all crawl into bed with you in the morning, first thing in the morning, you know, about 5:30, 6:00. Just love it.
That's my best time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get these little bodies, and they just want to be there with you. Yeah, and they put the patter down every morning. Yeah, I love it.
It's
lovely.
Yeah. When they're two, they're often with a full nappy as well. So. I just love that.
When awake then, you were awake now.
is that a good moment for Mrs. Gooch? Yeah. An evening one.
Yeah.
No, those are the memories, and I certainly know my father was fantastic at doing stories. His was about bumblebees, and they always had a little moral story to it, and all his children and grandchildren had always loved his stories and would always ask for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really nice.
So these are things that the children do remember and take with them into the future. Anything that you'd say about your own experiences from as growing up with your own parents, grandparents?
Yeah, definitely I think I've got solid memories of my grandparents and their stories and the things that, you know, they said And yeah, I just have this, so I guess it, you call it a solid, stable memory of that they loved us and that we were part of their lives. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Actually, that's a really interesting point, because in our case, pardon me, my own background is probably not the same as Wendy's, and in a way, her family provided me with a certain amount of what I probably hadn't had in the past. Okay. So it's a good example of where two quite different kind of families can come together, you know, and you can substitute some of the gaps by a wider sense of what a family is.
Yes, leads to a good point that we can become surrogate grandparents.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Can't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be your own. You don't have to have your own blood to, you know, within the ecclesia. I think if there's someone that's missing a grandparent or a parent in their lives, then you can become that. You don't have. And you haven't got children around you, then you can be what they need, and they can supply to you what you need. Yeah. And I think that's what's wonderful about ecclesias, is that we can do that. Yeah.
I think we can underestimate and almost not know even that we're becoming a part of the fabric of a growing child's life, you know, the making of a life, you know. And these memories, they're not just memories, but they're kind of points where, you know, there's an influence here and there and the next one and the next one and so on. And they're little pinpricks in a kind of a person's makeup. And each one of them kind of makes up this big, long kind of tapestry of a life. And so when we're providing positive, you know, roles and examples and being, you know, that stability and so on, we're actually helping that tapestry, you know, hold together in a much stronger way. And so and what we're doing actually is we're making the next generation much stronger because they're actually standing in a certain place, you know. Whereas a lot of a lot of helicopter parenting that you see nowadays, which is an expression that, you know, for those parents who kind of jump in and try and do everything for the child at the last minute, but are never there when the, you know, everything's unfolding. A lot of the kind of like the over perhaps smothering kind of thing, that actually produces uncertain, hesitant, nervous children, because what happens when they're not there? So
well, I love the picture you've built up, you know. In my mind, I just see a lovely extended family picture, and it just gives a beautiful picture of what grandparents can put into the fabric of a child's life, and, you know, and how they can be there as support people for their own children, and just create a much bigger, fuller picture that might otherwise be missing.
That's
beautiful. Thank you.
It's really neat. So last question. Miss Sharon's got more. But what advice would you give for grandparents who really want to, you know, like after hearing you tonight, want to step up? You know, what encouragement have you got for a grandparent who wants to step up and sort of really get involved, perhaps more so than what they've done before, and be a really great influence, a godly influence on the lives of their grandchildren? I mean, you know, you read through the letter to Timothy, you know, the faith that once dwelt with your mother Lois and your grandmother Eunice. There's obviously that really powerful influence of Timothy's grandmother there. Yeah. So, you got any real encouragement there that you can give to grandparents?
Just be there, I think. Just be there for them. And be part of their lives. You know, just get. I think you've got to be careful that you don't smother your children when you're wanting to be with the grandchildren, if you get what I mean. That you don't step in and take over, but you can still be there for them without doing that. Yeah.
I think it goes two ways. And I think for grandparents, it starts, you know, if you think to yourself, well, I haven't had that. How do I do that? The best place to start is just with honestly saying to kids, you know, I'd like to do this. And just stepping through that process in a way that they don't feel too challenged by, if it hasn't happened up to that point, just that they don't feel challenged by it, but at the same time you actually feel like you're getting somewhere. But you've got to start. You've got to start. That it's no good thinking, you know, it's no good thinking about being the world's greatest grandparent. You are the grandparent you are by what you do, not by what you think or what you want to be. It's by what you do, and that's at the cutting edge of it. And so if that's the case, which it is, then you've got to actually start somewhere. And if you don't, if you're just always thinking about it but never say anything to your kids about what you would like, then you're going to find that you actually get nowhere.
That's a good point. I think a grandparent is also a grandparent by who they are as well. I had four very different grandparents, and you love them for who they are as opposed to, you know, as much as for what they do.
It's a really
good, just being the grandparents.
A really good analogy, actually, of it's a metaphor for love. It is love. It's love, but it's you love unconditionally, and you love the person for who they are, not for who you want them to be. And I think that's a really, you know, and that goes both ways. It goes backwards and forwards. It goes back for the grandparents, and it goes for the children and the grandchildren. You love them, without any strings. And you can see, actually, we can take an example from the kids. The kids love their grandparents when their grandparents are there and around and so on, because they're there, not because they're someone else, but because they are who they are.
There is one thing too, I know, like, just from our own experience, that sometimes your parents or your in-laws will do something that really annoys you. The kids don't see that. They just see someone who loves them. They don't see the little things that we see that annoyed us, you know, but our kids just saw their grandparents as someone who loved them. So none of those things ever annoyed them. It was never a problem, never an issue.
And I suppose that's the thing. At the end of the day, a grandchild can give their grandparents back and say, go home. And a grandparent can send the child home and say, go home. And you don't have to be irritated for the rest of your life, all in one house. So
you can have the kids for a day, you can hype them up as much as you like, and then you can get them home.
Exactly.
Unless
you're staying on site.
That's right.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We've really enjoyed this discussion. It's been really inspiring. Looking forward to being grandparents ourselves one day.
Yeah.
We've got other plans for the moment, but that's all right.
Actually, I will say that. Oh, can I just say, someone once told me that being a grandparent is the best thing in the world, and until you are, you actually don't realise just how wonderful it is. It's just the best thing ever.
Yeah.
A very, very privileged position.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. For the in the next couple of weeks or few weeks, we have a Family Matters in 2 weeks' time. We haven't got We're just waiting for a confirmation on that one. So it's to be confirmed. But if you want to know what it is, as soon as the news comes out, I will send you an email if you're on our emailing list. If you're not, email me, robert@thinkythings.com, and say what's on Family Matters, and I will let you know. And I'll add you to that email list. Also, if you want to see this again, if you want to review this, rewind and hear it again, you can find it on the Pickering and Christadelphian website. And there are a whole lot of other Family Matters videos you can watch there as well. Finally, let's just ask Ross, would you mind closing with a word of prayer, please?
Yeah, sure. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we thank you for our time together tonight. When we've been able to consider the things which come from our families in your name, we know that you have provided us this wonderful relationship that we have between the generations, and that we have within that, we have responsibilities to one another. Responsibilities to show the same love that you showed to all your children, and most especially you showed through your son. And we know that he is our example. We pray that we may be an example to those around as we look to him, and we endeavor to put those lessons which we see in his life into practice with each other. Help us to be honest, help us to be true, help us to be faithful to what we really do believe, and help us to express ourselves in ways that don't offend but that draw those around us towards us. And we pray that you'll help us to be a strength to all those generations down through the ages who seek you as we do. We ask this prayer through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you found the episode helpful. Don't forget, most of these episodes are also available as videos on our video channel, cdvideo.org. So head over and take a look. If you have any comments or questions or suggestions, please get in touch or leave us a voice message. We love to hear your feedback. You can email us at btf@cdvideo.org. If you enjoyed the episode, then please share it with others. Until next time, may God bless you in your studies and your walk towards God's kingdom. Amen.